We've had enough of the lies, the sanctimony, the arrogance, the hatred, the pettiness, the fake news. We are done with your agenda to undermine voters' will and individual liberty in America. So to every lying member of the media, to every Hollywood phony, to the role model athletes who use their free speech to alter and undermine what our flag represents, to the politicians who would rather watch America burn than lose 1 ounce of their own personal power, to the late night hosts who think their opinions are the only opinions that matter, to the Joyanne Reeds, the Morning Joes, the Mikas, to those who stain honest reporting with partisanship, to those who bring bias and propaganda to CNN, the Washington Post, and the New York Times, your time is running out. The clock starts now.
That's illegal immigrant Luis Bracamontes, charged with murdering two police officers. It's pure evil. President Trump is right. Build the wall. Stop illegal immigration now.
I will break out soon and I'll kill more.
Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message.
your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. Can run on for a long time.
You are listening to Real World Witness with Chrissy
and Douglas,
watching history unfold while shining a light on truth, justice,
and exposing those who wish to crush it.
Cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
My fellow Americans, every day an average of 116 Americans die from an opioid-related overdose. This is a national crisis that demands immediate action. That is why last week I traveled to New Hampshire to announce the steps my administration is taking to combat this deadly epidemic. Our plan has three major parts: reducing drug demand by focusing on prevention so people don't get addicted in the first place, reducing drug supply, including getting tough on traffickers and dealers. And when I say tough, I'm talking about really tough, because it's the only language they understand. Increasing drug treatment to get life-saving help to those who really need it. But if our brave federal agents are going to be successful in stopping this deadly epidemic, then we must stop lawless sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities release thousands of dangerous criminal aliens into our communities, including drug traffickers, drug dealers, and vicious gang members. In fact, several of the criminal aliens who got away in Oakland after the mayor helped them evade capture have already committed new crimes, crimes that could have been easily prevented if not for Oakland's dangerous sanctuary policies. It is no coincidence that six of the biggest heroin markets in the United States are sanctuary cities. More than 40% of heroin coming across the southern border is transported through California, a sanctuary state. Drug cartels have transformed sanctuary cities like Denver, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York into major distribution centers because the criminal aliens in the drug trade know that local politicians will help them evade authorities. Sanctuary cities put innocent Americans at the mercy of hardened criminals and heartless drug dealers. These are bad people. We want our cities to be safe havens for Americans, not criminal aliens. It is time for Congress to cut off funds for sanctuary cities and to close the loopholes that allow drugs and criminals to violate our borders. We are going to stop the flow of deadly drugs. We are going to get help to those who need it. And we are going to end the scourge of addiction in America. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Welcome to Real World Witness on MAGA One Radio. My name is Chrissy. I am your host. I have my co-host Doug here. Hi, Doug.
Hello, young lady. How are you?
I'm doing okay, hanging in there. I guess we should introduce ourselves a little bit, since this is pretty much our first show on MAGA One Radio that will air. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you, and then I will do the same.
Sure, sounds great. I'm Douglas Ducote. I am retired U.S. military. I am the founder and CEO of Veterans United for Justice. We are a nonprofit veterans organization that helps veterans returning from combat tours and also helps vets with the VA process. I'm also a former law enforcement officer, and I worked 9 years in law enforcement. And I'm very happy to be here and to be expressing and sharing my views on what's happening in America, how we can continue to make America great again.
That's right. And, well, my name is Chrissy. I've been doing this, I've been doing radio for quite a while. I was covering the entertainment industry, covering basically television and movies, talking to, interviewing actors and producers and writers and that kind of a thing. And then after the election, I felt like, my skills would be better served supporting our president and getting the truth out there about what's been going on in our country and what we've allowed to happen. And so that's why I ended up doing creating Real World Witness, which is basically, a way to highlight some of our amazing, hopefully new politicians that are trying to get into the arena, and also some of the great authors that have written amazing books, such as Dr. Jerome Corsi, who wrote Killing the Deep State, the fight to save President Trump, which I will be re-airing that interview tonight. So that's sort of about me. So we're happy to have you listening on MAGA1Radio.net. So with that, I just wanted to mention before we get going, our discussion today is going to be about, obviously, President Trump sending our troops to the border and what that means. But I just wanted to mention today is Gold Star Spouse Day, which basically we're honoring the husbands and wives of our fallen soldiers. And Doug, as you know, there were some Marines that died the other day. And so our thoughts, at least my thoughts and prayers go out to them, and my condolences. I can't imagine what they're going through right now.
Yes, it was a helicopter crash in California, and all four crew members sadly lost their life. And also, yesterday we had a member of the United States Air Force Thunderbird flight demonstration team. They were preparing for an upcoming air show this weekend, and they haven't said what happened yet, whether the pilot was able to eject. Went wrong, or he wasn't able to eject. But
No.
We have lost of their team in a crash.
That's horrible.
48 hours for the military. So please keep them all in your thoughts and prayers.
Yes, most definitely. So what's been going on the last few days here? The caravan of illegals. oh my God. All right. So basically what's been going on is it was funded by Soros. Okay. The group that was funding these people without borders, is a Soros, leftist group. Okay. And they were sending this, caravan of illegals to basically invade our country. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I believe the Democrats were totally involved in this as well. Obviously they support open borders. And what's hilarious is, of course, President Trump, thank God we have a strong president. Hello. Who, signed a proclamation yesterday saying that he was going to send our National Guard to the border, our troops to the border to defend it, to defend our border against this invasion. Of course, now they have ended it. The whole caravan ended yesterday, although there are some that are claiming that they're going to show up. So, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. What's interesting QAnon posted last night and mentioned this whole, that it was a clown, it was a CIA black op, private funded troop to the border. Anyway, yeah, so it's just crazy.
Yeah, one thing that's happened past 24 hours, it kind of is on the same same avenue there. In the process of this, the president has also decided that he's going to, or he's sent out a request at this point, basically, to the military and to Homeland Security to come up with a plan to activate National Guard members throughout the United States to rotate down on the border to assist with the Border Patrol to help keep the border safe until the wall can be built. All right. So,
right.
So several different ways that that can happen. Each governor is the head of the of their particular National Guard unit for state active duty and for what's called Title 32. But when the president activates the National Guard, they go into what's called Title 10, and the governors no longer have any control or say-so whatsoever. The president then,
right.
The commander of that National Guard for that state answers directly to the president and no more to the governor. Well, the governor of Oregon, Governor Kate Brown, tweeted out yesterday that regardless of what the president said, she's not going to allow her troops and her National Guard to go to the border to distract from his ongoing problems in Washington, and therefore, basically, he is just up a creek without a paddle, and she will not send them.
Yeah, well,
now,
whatever.
Part about that is that she's also a lawyer, and I'm sure she's only doing it to please her base. You know, she's got to
right.
know. She has absolutely zero authority to do this. And if she did
right.
attempt it, not only would the National Guard commanders not listen to her because they'd be answering directly to the president, but she would be in prison for treason. So,
right. I don't think these people.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got this huge problem down there in that border, and we're trying our best to do everything we can to make things right and help protect citizens, and you know, and then we have things like this happening with people that continue to fight everything that our president does.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not unreasonable. I mean, you've got people that are basically they are they've got criminal enterprises coming into our country, the drug cartels, the gangs, the illegal immigrants that are coming through, human trafficking, child sex trafficking. And these criminal enterprises, which is part of the deep state, part of the CIA, rogue black ops, what they do, they've been running drugs for years, okay? They've been growing opium over in Afghanistan, which I think President Trump already bombed the crap out of it. A lot of the, I mean,
right.
you know, he's shutting all these avenues down, and that's what the Democrats that have been supporting all this. I mean, the Democrats that are in roles of leadership, you got to understand, they've been allowing this stuff to go on. And I'm not only saying the Democrats, some of the Republicans too. I mean, there's a lot on the list of these congressmen and senators that have declined to run again or to seek another term. You know, there is a list out there. In fact, later on, I'll tweet it out so people will have it because I have it. A list of people. I mean, these people are all involved in all of this illegal crap that they've been bringing into our country. And the president, we have a president now that is going against, you know, all these criminal enterprises. He is trying to basically make our country, our border strong again. He is cutting ties to so much. I mean, the fact that, you know, you talk about North Korea was actually being controlled by the CIA. Those ties have been cut. There's a lot of ties behind the scenes. What President Trump is doing, a lot of this stuff that all these criminal acts, these treasonous things that the politicians in our country have been involved in, these backdoor deals, a lot of this has been cut, is being demolished by Trump. And what he's trying to do is shore up our border. You know, we need that friggin' wall. And he's trying to bring back our morals, the values, and the core of what our country is supposed to be. I mean, and people need to realize that. These Democrats, they want open borders. The reasoning behind these open – it's that they don't give a crap about any of us. That's obvious. I mean, the DACA thing, you know, Trump played that masterfully. I mean, they completely, Democrats completely abandoned the DACA people. So, you know, DACA is dead as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the bottom line is that he's trying to bring back what our rule of law in this country, our Constitution. That's what's important. And, you know, Democrats and all these people that are against him, the deep state, the cabal, you know, the global cabal that he's trying to bring down. I mean, these people, they don't care about us. All they care about is power and money. And he's and that's why they hate him. That's why the mainstream media is so against him. That's why 98, I think they figured out, I think it was like 98% of all mainstream media, including the talk shows and all of that, is negative. It's all negative. They're painting him as a bully. They're painting him as a womanizer. I mean, whatever. The bottom line is that he is president of the United States, and these people need to get in line and start helping us. I mean, that's where I'm at right now with the whole thing. What do you feel about
no,
it?
Sadly, what I'm seeing happen on the Democrat Party, especially, I mean, even those that are, I say the liberals that have hijacked the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And I see even some Republicans that are following suit with this. Their hatred towards everything the president does is it's borderlining the exact same hatred that ISIS terrorists have for Americans in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a scary situation when you think of how these people, these terrorist organizations, you know, they just want to take American lives and cut your throat or slice your head off because you're an American,
right.
You're a free person. And that's, I see the same kind of hate from liberals and Democrats, and now even some with the Republican Party, towards our president. And, you know, what really woke my eyes up to that is recently some of the YouTube videos that I put out. You know, I get comments from some of these people, and if you didn't know any better, you would really think they were a terrorist over in Afghanistan, you know, in Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And, I mean, they want me dead for speaking
right.
My mind and taking up for the president.
Right.
And or speaking my mind against other criminal things that are happening here in America that, you know, that we should try and put an end to. When I see things like that, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, how have we reached a point in America where American citizens are now voicing their concerns on the same level and the same hatred as a terrorist does?
I know. It's
a very
They're very anti-America, and unfortunately, you know, they've infiltrated every aspect of our you know, everything, our education, our government, our financial institutions, and it just needs, you know, it's really sickening when you think about it. That, you know, I always talk about how when 9/11 happened, we all united as American, as a country, and we need to unite again. Patriots and, you know, conservative people that have been silent, we need to start banding together. There's a lot of rallies that are popping up here and there all over the place, you know, and everybody's got egos. You know, they all have egos. Oh, well, they want to take the credit for everything. That's not what this is about, everybody. We need to pull together. You know, you need to set the egos aside. We need to band together, protect this country, and protect our rights, our Constitution. You know, that's what it's about. And Trump, that's all President Trump is trying to do. Looks like we have a caller here. Let me see if they want to talk here. 804, you're on with Real World Witness on MAGA One Network. Hello? Oh, I can't hear you. You're not coming through at all.
Sounds like you're on a cell
do you
phone
want to try
in the bathroom.
Yeah, and plus I don't know if people are, you know, messing with our... You try calling again. Try calling again. You're not coming through at all whatsoever. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. I hate that. I don't know why. Yeah, it was kind of happening, but I feel bad. Well, if you want to try calling again. Anyway, but, yeah, I mean, you know, it just got to stop with all the, you know, oh, well, we want credit for this and that. I mean, that's not what this is about, you know. We all need to start banding together because if we don't, I mean, you know, this stupid March for Our Lives BS, you know, most of those people were not students. Most of those people were paid by Soros money, okay, to be protesters in this. You know, they have 500,000. I mean, we need to show our numbers. We need to tell people that we that most of America disagrees with this leftist BS, open borders, whatever it is, Democrats. They've been trying to stop everything, and we have just got to show our numbers. Otherwise, you know, we're screwed. I mean, you know, we really need to pull together. We really do. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get the, you know, people to do that or understand that that's what we need to do.
Speaking of the Walk for Life that just took place, I had something today, as a matter of fact, that I haven't had a chance to talk to you about, and I may as well just go ahead and share it with everybody.
Oh, okay.
It's very interesting.
Sure.
One of my children two of my children in college, but one of my son called me today from his university, and he said, Dad, I joined some Democrat clubs and some liberal clubs here at school, and I wanted to share some information with you about it. And I said, really? And I've always told my kids, you know, you can, you know, don't just take Dad's word on it. Do your homework and figure out, you know,
right,
who's telling the truth, who isn't. And he said, you know, I'm not changing parties. I'm not, you know, I wanted you to know what I did and why I did it. And I'm like, okay, go ahead, son, tell me about it. He said, well, this one club was part of that walk, okay? And at his college, they all went out and protested, you know, the gun, ban the gun, that kind of stuff.
The gun
he
control
said, so,
stuff, yeah.
Gun, so I went and I spent 2 hours with them last night. It was their after-action follow-up about the march and all that. And he goes, Dad, I realized that they had absolutely no clue. Not only did they not know why they had went out and marched, but they also didn't know anything about guns. And he goes, the funny thing about it is they admitted it. He said they actually talked about how we need to really educate ourselves because we look pretty stupid when several people had a camera in their face from news media and they asked them questions about guns and we didn't have the answers. And he said,
exactly.
So, right. And he goes, so I'm sitting in this meeting with this group and realizing that none of them had a clue really what they wanted banned or why they wanted it banned. And he said they kind of opened the floor up for people to talk about what they thought. And he goes, it finally got around to me. And he said, you know, somebody asked, you know, what I thought. And he goes, so I very politely, I said, look, I'm not I'm kind of a conservative. I'm in the middle. But, you know, let me talk to you about how I view it. And he said, I explained to them all the things that they were talking about that they had wrong. For instance, they thought that all AR-15s had fully automatic capability. And when I told them that's not true, can't buy that in America, the military has that version, they were completely shocked. Didn't know that.
Right.
He said, he explained to them when they said that, you know, this weapon is only used for killing humans. It can't be used for anything else. And I explained to them, no, most deer hunters today use that weapon. They use the .223 version of it because it doesn't mess the deer up as bad. And so I said, well, how did they accept this? And he said, believe it or not, Dad, by the time time this was over with, and he said he was there about 2 hours, by the time it was over with, I had completely changed their view on this whole protest thing.
I love it.
Now
that's
they would like
amazing.
You to come up here and have some free time and teach them about gun safety.
Yes, that's what we need. That is fabulous. See, now we need more people, more kids. That's amazing. I love that. That is fantastic.
Yes, I was pretty happy to hear that he did that, and you know, and he said, look, just one little thing at a time. You know, if I can change one person's view and at least let them know what they're talking about isn't correct, I've done good. And I said, well, you know, how many people were in this group? And he said, oh, about 100. I said, well, then you did an excellent job. If not, crashed you, got upset with you. And he said, no, they're all thankful that I came to the meeting and basically educated them on facts.
Exactly. That's amazing. See, and then, you know, they'll tell people and then it'll go on. It's all word of mouth, and word of mouth travels. And I think that's the key. It's education. We need to, I mean, you know what we should do? We'll do a show just solely on guns to educate. That's what we'll do. I think that's a good idea.
And, well, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I think that's what we'll do next, because that needs to be done. I mean, people don't understand. They don't know. They don't know the data. They don't know the stats. They don't know the actual real truth behind it all. I mean, it's all just a bunch of BS, this whole gun control stuff. I mean, really. I mean, way back when Little House on the Prairie days, okay, Pa had his rifle, and he was going to, you know, bend off anybody that came on his property. Well, that's where we're at. I mean, why would you give up there? Oh, sure, come and take our you know, our cattle and our food. And sure, why don't you, you know, I mean, it's like it's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard on the face of the earth. That's why it's like, you know, come on, people.
Yeah.
You know, home security is like what a multi-billion dollar enterprise, okay? And why do we have that? Because it's to deter people from coming in and taking our stuff. Well, it's the same thing with guns. Why would we? I mean, it's so stupid. I just get so aggravated. But that's amazing. Oh my God, maybe your son can like call in and be a guest on the show that day too. That would be awesome, because have somebody, you know, his age to, you know, come and do that. So, I love that story. Fantastic. Okay, well,
I was pretty happy. I'm raising good kids.
I know, you really are. Wow, great dad, man. okay, so I said I was going to re-air my interview with Dr. Jerome Corsi. I did it last week. We aired it Friday night. It ended up being at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think it was still our regular time. It was aired on Malga One Radio Network last Friday, but I'm going to re-air it here now, and we will also be on tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So anyway, so Dr. Corsi, I just wanted to make you guys aware that he's under massive discrimination by New York Times, who refuses to name his book in their top 10 list. He's actually outsold half of the books on their list right now, yet they are refusing to put him on the bestseller list. I mean, it's just a bunch of BS. Also, last night, he got word that Amazon is refusing to use the ad for his book, which, that's fine. More people went over to Amazon. More people are buying the book. I mean, you know, it's having the reverse effect, because these idiots don't get it. You know, why would you try to ban a book that's doing it well? Okay, then people want to read it. So anyway, here's my interview with Dr. Corsi. He is a best-selling author. He wrote this book, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. So here you go. Okay, well, welcome to We're a World Witness on MAGA One Radio. I've got Dr. Corsi is going to be our guest. He's received his PhD at Harvard, is the Washington Bureau Chief for InfoWars, has published number one New York selling books, including the Obama
Nation, Partners in Crime, and co-wrote Unit for Command. His investigation was key in exposing the HSBC International Bank caught laundering money for drug cartels and terrorist organizations worldwide. Now he is an author of the best-selling book, Killing with the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump, which not only depicts how the players are intertwined, but also clearly lays out the Russian hoax and insurance policy illegally manufactured by the DOJ, FBI, under the Obama and Hillary Clinton administration as part of a coup d'etat against President Trump. Welcome, Dr. Corsi, to Real World Witness.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Now, I understand you wrote this book, Killing of the Deep State. Basically, you're just trying to inform everybody about what is going on, the truth behind the lies that the mainstream media is just completely out of control, to say the very least. Why don't you just kind of give us a little bit of background, you know, what made you decide to want to write the book and kind of go from there?
Sure. One of the reasons I wrote Killing the Deep State is I wanted to show the smoking gun evidence against the FBI. I mean, when you read the book, you're going to be stunned. It's clear there was an actual coup d'etat attempt to remove Donald Trump from office, and it's still continuing with the FBI at the center of it.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, it's like what people don't understand is how, you know, we're supposed to trust the people that we have in elected, you know, in, that we elect. And, you know, unfortunately, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, everything has been weaponized, was weaponized by the Obama administration. And, you know, obviously, you know, Brennan, as head of the CIA, he's the one that sort of launched the, I guess, the electronic surveillance into the Trump administration before, during, and after he was elected, and it's highly illegal. And I think that people don't understand that. And I think that your book kind of, you know, clues people in on, you know, the ins and outs of that.
Well, yeah, I also think that, you know, take a look hard at the what's coming out now, and it's supporting what I, you know, the case I build in the book. Now we see the Inspector General. I talk a lot about this fusion GPS document, this lying kind of Russian dossier that was, you know, really opposition research, but it was supposed to frame Donald Trump as a Russian agent. Well, now the Inspector General of the Department of Justice has begun an official investigation into the FISA court application process to get electronic surveillance against Donald Trump. And I think we're beginning to see the kind of a counterattack start in which the tables are going to be turned, which, when it's clear that there was no Russian collusion from whatsoever from
the Trump administration, yeah.
Precisely. And it was really from Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, both of whom have been on the payroll of Russia, which is a shocking thing. I devote a whole chapter to showing how Russia was paying Hillary and Podesta. They've been selling technology to Russia under this whole reset program.
Mm-hmm.
And it included the technology, this hydro, this supersonic technology that is now used by Russia to make this new nuclear weapon that evidently our anti-ballistic missile can't shoot down. That in the Uranium-1 scandal, where Hillary got over $175 million of the foundation, and none of this has been seriously investigated, because in the FBI, while they were determined to go after impeaching Donald Trump and never allowing him to serve as president, they were also determined to give Hillary a pass on things which were clearly criminal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the whole email thing is just insane. I mean, if it was you or I, we'd be, you know, sitting in prison right now, rotting. You know, anybody else that would have committed. What people don't get is that the Clinton email thing is so huge. I mean, the fact is that the, you know, it was classified information. on that server that then other countries, other people, that they were, it was like a pay-to-play operation scheme. And people don't, I don't think, get that. They think, oh, well, what's the big deal? It was just emails. And, you know, when you look at the whole thing on a big, it's just, it's shocking that anybody would even think that they could get away with that.
It is shocking.
You know?
And it's amazing that it's still going on, that, you know, the, this whole, the real criminal activity in the election was the Democrats.
Yep.
And that's what people are not understanding, is what's not being investigated. It's not, you know, this is the issue that I think is basically where we're going to find over time, and what I write in my book, Killing the Deep State, is that, you know, you're finding that still behind the scenes, it's another, I build a compelling case that in Killing the Deep State, that President Obama is still secretly working behind the scenes. He's doused President Trump. He's the wizard behind the screen. He has a couple of key operatives like Valerie Jarrett.
Right.
And they're still working day and night to against President Trump.
And that's the other thing.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, it's shocking this is continuing.
Well, what irks, I think a lot of people, you know, I'm on Twitter like all the time pretty much, and what irks people, it's like, you know, this guy, you know, he committed treason and sedition against this country, against this president, and yet he's able to bebop around. You know, he's meeting, you know, all these dignitaries across the world. Who the heck knows what he's, you know, saying to these people. You know, what the way that I feel is like, you know, the longer that he's out, the longer that Hillary is, you know, off in some vacation in India or meeting with Indian people in India. I mean, I feel like it's very frustrating for patriots and for Trump supporters. It's just that, you know, they're out there still able to sort of spin their web against this president. And meanwhile, there is a plethora, there is, you know, irrefutable evidence, hard evidence against these people of the crimes that they've committed. So, you know, it's frustrating to see them out and about. And, I don't know, when are we going to see these two? At least if we could just see those two, like the indictments unsealed, because I'm sure some of the indictments have to be connected to those two. But, you know, when are we going to see some of that going on? I mean, there's been so much. It's just crazy.
Well, I'm not sure the indictments may have to do with more with child trafficking and with MS-13.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to have is a new special prosecutor. And I point that out in the book, that Trump is organizing a counterattack right now. And I think the counterattack is going to be to get rid of Mueller. I mean, Mueller should really be all of the material on Mueller and Rosenstein covering up the Russian bribery scam during the Uranium One crisis, which needs to be brought out more. I mean, this is the critical evidence that I think will ultimately cause Mueller and Rosenstein to be themselves the subject of a criminal investigation. And that's what needs to happen in order to end this witch hunt, which is now just, you know, finding absolutely nothing and yet continuing to call people before it, before the grand jury, to give testimony, ruining people's lives. And, you know, this is a disgrace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously there's General Flynn and Gates, and then I know Ted Mollick, you know, he was arrested. And, I mean, you know, the other thing that bothers me about that, I mean, they've confiscated his cell phone, and he can't even – I mean, isn't that illegal for them to be able to do that?
Well, I guess if they have a warrant, they can probably do it. But, you know, Ted is without his cell phone. He's in the United States, and he's currently now, you know, having to use his wife's cell phone from Great Britain.
Yeah.
And they've detained him flying in from the country, and they got a subpoena for him to appear before the grand jury. The subpoena was signed by a judge up in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the whole thing is just, it's insane. Ted was not central to the campaign. He doesn't know anything. I mean, this is not a possible way that you can have anything develop here. This is going to be anything but advance the witch hunt.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, the other, I think, most important thing that should come out of this, too, is the fact that, I mean, Mueller, he delivered the uranium to Putin.
I know.
And so him and Rod Rosenstein are culpable. Also Christopher Wray. I mean, you know, and they're running the show. I mean, I don't understand where Jeff Sessions is. My co-host that's usually with me and the two of us are like, what is going on with Jeff Sessions? And, you know, I do follow QAnon and, you know, trust Sessions, but I'm just like, I mean, I don't know. I'm, in your book, you even mentioned that he was kind of like paranoid because he thought he was being watched because he obviously had to have known that that they were still under surveillance, electronic surveillance, because they up to what, 6 months through the first year of the president's presidency, he was under electronic surveillance still.
These are the kinds of things that I think are just for the people who support, and, you know, Donald Trump. These are things that are really unconscionable. I mean, and
yeah.
Also, look, my book has been banned by all the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. It's going to turn out this Killing the Deep State is going to be one of the best-selling books on the whole Trump presidency. It's been number one in numerous Amazon categories, and yet I'm never going to get an interview. The mainstream media does not want people reading Killing the Deep State.
Right.
That's, I think, where the attempt to shut it out from all mainstream media publicity, including the New York Times. You know, I've outsold half the New York Times list for the past 2 weeks, and yet they won't put it on the New York Times bestseller list because they have all these algorithms. You know, he didn't set up a category, and he didn't do this. They just don't like the book. They don't want anything in the New York Times bestseller list supporting Donald Trump.
Right.
And so we're up against political bias, and this is what the hard left does not mind, you know, like an intolerant cultural revolution in Maoist China.
Right.
You know, anybody who doesn't agree with the Mao Little Red Book is going to be subject to prosecution and thought reform.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's like the last I heard, I thought we were living in America. I mean, you know, the way that they've been censoring all of us on social media, that whole the Twitter lockout, I lost, you know, about 450 or so, followers that night. And then the weird thing about that is that, you know, they wanted me to put my phone number in order to get back on to Twitter that night. I did. And so I've been having some phone issues after that, you know, and but it's horrible. It's, you know, and the thing that I don't get is I say high school students and millennials, where are they? I mean, like, why would they want a bigger government, total control, right? Democrats want to take away our guns. They want to, you know, pigeonhole our freedom of speech. Why aren't they more upset about it? I mean, they just seem to kind of go along with it. It's sort of like the brainwashed, zombies of the apocalypse. It's crazy to me that there's not more rattling cages, you know, about that. Because when it boils down to it, I mean, Killing the Deep State is a great book. I've actually read it twice, believe it or not.
Great.
I don't understand why somebody like the New York Times also would just completely diss it just because it's Trump's thing, you know? I mean,
they hate anything. New York Times, the Washington Post, all of these hate anything that supports Trump. The left is insane with their Trump hatred.
Yeah.
And you've got an intolerant left. This intolerant left, you know, Antifa there.
Yeah.
They point out the Democratic Party has gone so far over the cliff to
right.
the hard left that it's hardly recognizable any longer. It's certainly not the party of, you know, John Kennedy or Hubert Humphrey. And you know, you've got this witch hunt going on with Mueller. They say Mueller is a Republican. Well, Mueller has been a Clinton fixer for decades.
Right. It's insane.
They're corrupt, cops. They don't deserve to be in the FBI, let alone to conduct this grand jury or this investigation. They found absolutely nothing. 13 wacko Russians that did not impact the election and were are never going to come back to face trial. They'll never be extradited. And Trump did not collude with them. Now, if that's all Mueller's got, he's out of gas.
Yeah, he's completely out of gas. And that's why he went off. He went after Ted. I mean, they're grasping at straws, and so they're trying to pull in anybody that they can. And I mean, the fact that I can't stand that they delayed his appearance till April 13th, I think.
Right.
What you had mentioned on InfoWars earlier, I watched it. But anyway, yeah, it's ridiculous. So what, they're gonna like tear apart this poor guy, and you know, meanwhile the real culprits. I mean, and what about? Can I ask you, like, what about like Bruce and Nellie Orr? I mean, they're still on the payroll. I mean, they're still working. Strzok and Page, they're still working. You know, they're massively culpable in all of this. I mean, as far as with Fusion GPS and getting the dossier, the fake dossier, putting that together, and then not to mention the whole FISA memo issue. I mean, you know, the FISA application, they go in front, you know, of the FISA court using the fake dossier to get the surveillance, which is highly illegal. They don't disclose that, you know, that Hillary is part, you know, first of all, paying for it. Hillary/DNC is paying for it, and the whole Christopher Steele angle. I mean, how can we help get these people, you know, out of there? I don't know where we go from here.
It's a big problem right now, and I think we've got to. Donald Trump, I point out in Killing of the State, Donald Trump is going to start a counterattack, and he's going to turn the tables on these people. They're going to be under investigation, but, you know, it's not going to happen until Mueller's grand jury goes away.
Right.
And Mueller has no reason to shut down the grand jury. He can keep it going as long as he wants and continue to, you know, have thousands of witnesses appear before the grand jury. It doesn't make any difference to Mueller.
Right.
And this is the problem, is that when they get down to Ted Malik, they're pretty desperate.
Yeah.
You know, they're probing U.S.-Russia contacts at the 2016 convention. I mean, this is just absurd. It's absurd. It's a complete fantasy at this point.
It's so ridiculous, the Russian hoax. And then you've got mainstream media, and all they talk about is Russia. And not only that, but it really, I try to watch, sometimes I have to turn it off because I get so mad, but the White House press briefing. I mean, you know, they sit there and attack, you know, Trump on this thing. I was going to ask you about it. Anyway, they... It's just out of control, and I don't understand how the president, how can we get the information out if, you know, people like the New York Times and Washington Post and, you know, mainstream media, they'll prop Comey's book that is coming out, and never mind the fact that, you know, he's a leaker, you know, he's lied, he's covered for... you know, the Clintons also for years, you know, and so I guess basically they're saying, you know, okay, if you're willing to get on the DNC team, then, you know, you can just do whatever you want. You can get multi-million. And what kind of a thing is that? What kind of a signal is that sending out to, you know, the young people of this country that just want to, it's okay to be criminal because you can just get away with it, you know? It's frustrating.
Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that is so irritating, the average person, that you find that it's so far hard left, and this is the hate left. This is extreme left.
Mm-hmm.
This is not any way anymore. This is no longer a political. This is the ideology. They're driven by ideology. They're driven by hatred. And, you know, the schools are producing these kids who are, you know, so far into the identity politics of the hard left that we're going to have another generation of kids who are, you know, going to be basically predisposed for communism.
Yeah.
And you know, Donald Trump's doing a lot to reverse it. And we've got to support him in this because he can turn it around. But had Hillary won, we would have been having censorship. We would have been off the air. Our accounts would have been terminated without being restored at YouTube across the board. And these are the things I think that America's never been about. This is the first time in my, you know, life that America has been about censorship.
Right.
And that's frightening. It's frightening.
It's really it is. And it's been crazy. And I mean, like, they had, it was a 16-year plan to destroy America, and it was, you know, Obama 8 years and then Hillary 8 years. And, I mean, she would have been, we would have been in World War III now with Russia. I mean, she would have totally started it. And, you know, and so then you go into that, and then they want to do, you know, population control, and they want to do, you know, all these crazy things. But I think that the problem is that, you know, in school they're not teaching, they're not educating about the Constitution. They're not educating people about, you know, the kids about the founding fathers, about the founding of this nation and how pivotal it was for the world. Because everything that happens here in America, it's like a chain reaction. I mean, there's so many nations out there that are now following President Trump's populist, you know, mantra of, you know, America first, and, you know, let's do, you know, China first, or, you know what I mean, and have individual countries, you know, propping up their country to be sovereign when, you know, the EU and the UN, I mean, they just want globalists. They just want everything, no borders, one entity, the UN, basically running everything, you know, all the laws. And I think that the indoctrination that's going on in our schools is just, it's out of control. And,
it's frightening. And I don't know what we do to control it. I mean, that's the problem.
I don't know. I know, because it's so deep in now. I mean, I worry about, I have nieces and nephews that are, you know, in elementary school, and I worry about them because I'm like, oh my God, like, what are they teaching? You know, what are they teaching these kids? And, you know, luckily, I mean, you know, my family's Christian, so, you know, they have that, but I mean, you know, it's hard. You can't change what they're doing for 8 hours a day, you know, pretty much, and you have to go with whatever they're doing. So it's horrible. It's a horrible situation, but I know Trump is making a lot of progress. He really is, and I know a lot of patriots get nervous or get worried because we're not seeing the arrest. There have been a lot of things that he's been doing.
More. There's going to be more happening. Donald Trump, I think from what QAnon has been promising, there's going to be lots more happening, and I think this is just the beginning of what is going to be a massive counterattack that will ultimately bring justice, I believe, to the American people.
Yep, I believe so too. I definitely think military tribunals are going to be coming, and
I think so too.
You know, and I don't know. Do you follow Mark Taylor at all?
Yes, I do. I do, to some extent, not as deeply as I might otherwise, but I do, yes.
Yeah.
What is he saying these days? He's very much predicting that it's all going to succeed too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And he's actually working on some other prophecies. But yeah, I mean, he says there will be military tribunals and that all five presidents, meaning Carter, both Bushes, Clinton and Obama are going to be. Obama is going to go to prison for treason. They said he said definitely Hillary is looking at prison and probably Bill Clinton. That the Clintons are done. And that the other three, they're going to be freaking out. Like, they are going to have to face a lot of things that they've done. And so he didn't say for sure if they're going to prison or not, but they will face some type of trial or, you know, some criminal charges. And so that kind of makes me feel good. You know, I feel like, okay, well, you know, I do believe he's connected to God, and I do believe that he gets these prophecies. And I've read his book, you know, The Trump Prophecies, which is fabulous. And so, you know, and what's interesting is I only found him after the Trump, after the election. I didn't know anything about it until after Trump was elected. So it was kind of interesting to read the book and see what he was saying. And so, you know, he says it's going to happen. So you just got to keep praying.
Well, we just have to keep going on. And I think, look, I think we're making great progress. And I wrote the book in the belief, you know, they bring out Comey's book. Well, mine's out there. That's not accidental. They want,
right.
The mainstream media wants Comey to be a great hero. Well, Comey lied to Congress, and he used this fusion GPS as the basis for electronic surveillance. And this is all going to be brought out, and the American people are ultimately going to have justice. It's just going to take us a while.
Yeah, it is, and we just got to just hang in there. I keep tweeting people, just hang in there, everybody. I know, but they should be in. I said, yeah, but, you know, it takes time to build the cage, make sure that it's airtight, because the one last thing you want is pulling them into a military tribunal, and then, you know, the case falls apart. So, you know, and I used to actually be an investigator for, I used to do criminal investigation stuff. So, I mean, I totally understand how people get upset about that, but, you know, it takes time, and I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get there. Well, I guess I'll let you go. Where can everybody find your book?
My book is available. Yeah, it's Killing the Deep State. The Fight to Save Donald Trump. It's Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. It's in bookstores everywhere now, and it's also Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com. So you can find it commonly now. It should be available everywhere.
Okay, and where can they, what's your Twitter, and you're on Gab too now, I know.
Yeah, so everything is all Jerome Corsi, so it's like Jerome _ Corsi for Twitter. They're all versions of my name. So if you just look my name, you'll find me on all these different sites. I'm on Gab, I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube. JRLCORSI. JRLCORSI on YouTube. My initials plus Corsi.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Feel
sure.
Better and appreciate
thank you
all
very
your time.
Much.
It's been an honor chatting with you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay. You take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right. So that was my interview with Dr. Corsi. He was so fun to talk to. Now, of course, afterward, I felt like, oh, my gosh, I should have asked him a bazillion more questions. So I'm praying maybe we'll get him on again sometime. His book, it really is great. And it's, like I said, Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. You know, basically, it lays everything out. I mean, you know, for us that we of course, I follow Sean Hannity. I watch Hannity on Fox News all the time. And so he and Sarah Carter and John Solomon and, you know, Greg Jarrett, they've laid out all of this over the last year also as well. But you know, basically, you know, I'm anxious to see Trump's counter attack now coming into play, and that's what has been also mentioned on QAnon. So what did you think about that interview, Doug?
I thought it was an outstanding interview, and I'm jealous that I wasn't able to be a part of it, but I was very sick.
Oh,
as you know.
You. I know you were
unable to be a part of it, but you did a wonderful job. I think Dr. Corsi is definitely at the top of his game. He's got this figured out, and more people need to read his book and pay attention to what this man has to say, because he is spot on. And I sure do thank him for coming on with you and allowing us to, or allowing you to have this interview with him. It sure is appreciated.
Yeah, I was so nervous too when I was interviewing him, just because, you know, I mean, he's done so much, you know, and he's a very
right.
smart man, and he knows what's going on. What's interesting is, you know, QAnon last night, of course, QAnon the last 2 days have been like out of control. Lots coming out on QAnon. I mean, incredible. But what's interesting is, you know, when you think about everything that's going on, the fact that the coup is still going on is just shocking to me. I mean, it's been over a year and a half now, over a year. I mean, they started, they got these, the initial ones were, when did they get them? July of 2016. I think actually the applications went in, yeah, I think it was July 2016. I think is when they actually started the surveillance of him. So it'll be almost 2 years since this whole thing started.
Well, you know what's – this is what I think is funny, and I don't want to give CNN and MSNBC the ratings, and that's what would happen when people tune into them, but it's going to – here's what you do. If you can Devo, or what is that called? Where you record it, okay?
You
can record it. TiVo.
Yeah,
TiVo or record it, great. So you can see how they're going to spin this. Because literally on CNN and MSNBC, for the past 14, 15 months, every single program on CNN and MSNBC, every single hour, 24/7, they talk about Russia-Trump collusion. And now, finally, we have Mueller come out and say that Trump has never been a target of this investigation. It was some people that were associated with him. So how are they going to spin this now?
They're out of their friggin' mind. I mean, we all knew. I mean, all of the sane people, I should say, knew that, you know, this Trump collusion was it was a hoax. The whole thing. I mean, the whole and what's great at killing the deep state is like, you know, he lays the whole thing. And not only that, but you know, he also is good at sort of explaining how everybody interconnects, which is really good too about the book, but. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Basically, what they did was they hatched a plan. You know, Comey, it would have been Brennan in there, Comey, Loretta Lynch. They hatched the plan to send in Paul Manafort and Carter Page as plants. Okay, they were able to get the. On the application, they were able to get the surveillance warrants because they said that they were monitoring or they were looking at Carter Page. Carter Page is an operative, an FBI operative that they'd used in the past. So they were plants. So basically they sent Page in to the Trump campaign and they were and his job was basically to try and get them – get somebody in the personnel in the campaign or, you know, someone close to Trump, such as, like, you know, Don Jr. Remember when they tried that bullshit where they sent that Russian attorney in to try it because he supposedly they had info on, you know, Hillary opposition research on Hillary, that, you know, information. And within like 5 minutes, Don Jr. is like thinking, what the hell is this? And this woman starts talking about adoption of Russian kids. Of course, you know, he leaves, so it shuts the whole thing down. I mean, it was all, they were all trying to trap them. They were trying to entrap them, and I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, because, you know, they're not interested in that kind of crap. I mean, it's like so ridiculous, but, you know, and so that was the deal. They sent Page in, and then based on, you know, the fact that they said, oh, well, we're looking at Carter Page. That's how they got the surveillance, the electronic surveillance. And then they, not only that, but they renewed it four different times, and Comey signed it. I think Comey signed it. Rod Rosenstein. I think Christopher Wray also signed another application. So they didn't even show any additional. You're supposed to when you get a warrant like that, you're supposed to sign. Supposed to show, be able to show that there was other information gathered, what you gathered and why you want the extension on that warrant. Well, they never even did that. There was no other information. So then I wonder if wasn't it Contreras, though, that might have been one of the judges that approved that surveillance warrant? Can't remember.
I'm not sure who. I don't remember who the judges were, but we need to find out, and we need to find out what they, what's their feeling of this now, you know?
Well, yeah.
How do you,
you know,
feel
like I'm...
like?
What? Say that again.
I want to know how they feel now that they know that they were lied to.
Oh yeah. I know. Well, and my thinking is, and this is the thing, this is the other thing, you know, I mentioned Mark Taylor, who, you know, he prophesied he prophesied in 2011 that Trump was going to be our president and was going to win the election. In 2011, he prophesied that. But anyway, he said in another subsequent prophecies, he mentioned that. That I think it was two judges Supreme Court judges. I think it was Supreme Court though that was going to be caught up in fraud. I mean, I'm just wondering if one of these judges was in cahoots with the FBI and the DOJ with regards to getting these extensions on these surveillance warrants. I mean, that's my gut feeling is on that, because I mean, you know, Obama weaponized everybody was friggin', you know, it's just horrible. Anyway, they were all working, Obama bidded.
If Jeff Sessions gets replaced, which is hope that many of us have, then hopefully whoever goes in next is going to do the right thing and fix this problem and appoint a second counsel to look into all of this corruption that we know for a fact, hands down, took place. I mean, we don't even have a counsel, and so much has been released that we are completely aware of how corrupt the past administration was and the things they were doing leading to the election and continue to do after the election.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, it was very interesting in his book. He talks about the fact that, you know, Sessions was freaking out. He was, you know, worried. He was under surveillance. He recuses himself, right, from the Uranium One, right, the Uranium One investigation. And then didn't he say he recused himself from, like, any investigation involving Hillary Clinton? And I'm just thinking, you know, maybe he did that because he was scared out of his mind. I don't know. But then on the other hand, just recently, what was it, yesterday or the day before yesterday? Or was it Friday? I think it might have been Friday. Anyway, there was a letter that Sessions sent with regards to all of the information, the documentation or the information on investigations that the Congress has been requesting. And Sessions wrote, I mean, basically it was let out that he has had this attorney Huber, who is, I think, in Salt Lake City, if I remember correctly. He's been investigating all. He's a prosecutor in Salt Lake City, and he has been looking into like all of this stuff. And he has been also working with different prosecutors, whatever, as far as, you know. So I don't know if that was all just a ruse, him recusing himself. I'm not sure. But you know, it's very interesting to me if, in fact, you know, maybe trust Sessions. I mean, Q always says, trust Sessions, trust Sessions. And I'm just like, I just don't trust, you know. Then I saw that letter, and I was like, okay, well, maybe, possibly, yeah, maybe, you know, there was a game plan, and we just don't know about it. I don't know.
Well, there's in the past probably, I'd say, 12 hours, there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes talk about Session heading out the door here shortly. So I think this time next week, it's my personal opinion, by this time next week, Sessions is probably going to be gone.
Good. I really hope. I mean, I honestly just think he is just, he's too skittish. Like, you know, I mean, meeting people is, as the Attorney General, first of all, as I understand it, as far as I believe it was Greg Jarrett on Hannity said outright that Rod Rosenstein is in charge, that is running the DOJ, not Jeff Sessions. So basically, Rod Rosenstein and Christopher Wray are in charge, and Sessions, well, what the hell is he doing then? Why is he still there? I mean, it just totally makes no sense whatsoever to me. At all.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. I'm so, it's so frustrating to sit back and watch everything that's happening, everything that's unfolding, and, you know, we can just keep praying, and we can keep writing letters, and we can keep going to their Facebook pages, and we can keep doing what we're doing right here, which is, you know, letting the world know what's happening, and
exactly.
We'll see the change that's going to benefit all American people.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. The other thing I wanted to highlight really quickly was that I thought it was interesting. He mentioned that the anti-ballistic missile, you know, that Russia is threatening with us, that we can't, none of our weapons can shut it down. Hillary gave our technology to Putin during the reset button BS stuff. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm like, okay, well, great. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, obviously I'm happy if it comes, and I hope it does, that we get to watch her be put in handcuffs.
Yeah.
There's just,
I really need to see that. Yeah. I mean, I really need to see that at this juncture. Okay, well, before we end our show, I just want to mention that President Trump actually proclaimed April 2018 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. He says every child is a precious and unique gift who deserves the security of a loving and nurturing home. When supported by encouraging families in safe, strong communities, all children have the chance to reach their full potential and access the unlimited opportunities that our great nation has to offer. To realize this truth, we must dedicate ourselves to the noble cause of protecting and caring for our children. So I just wanted to put that out there. I think it's very important given everything that's going on. You know, lots of child sex trafficking is going on, which is one of the reasons that we need to get that wall built. We need to continue to support President Trump and our troops that are willing to defend our borders at all costs.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Got to do what we can.
Right. Yep. That's all we can do is just keep going on strong. All right. So you've been listening to Real World Witness on MAGA One Radio Net. You can reach me, Chrissy. I'm at ChrissyUSA1 on Twitter. And Doug, how can people reach you?
Douglas Ducote on Twitter, and also Douglas M. Ducote Sr. on my YouTube channel, Veterans United for Justice on Facebook, and American Patriot by the Grace of God on Facebook.
And we do have a Real World Witness Facebook page. Well.
Yes, we do.
So I guess we're going to be live next week, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And thank you for listening. Appreciate all of your support. I guess we're out of here. See you next week, everybody.
come from. Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. If that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. On earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles fly.